What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break with Sip and Jake, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And the Lincoln Journal star's Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake. Sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Good morning, happy Wednesday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Early Break, full show ahead in this Double Barrel Wednesday and Thanksgiving Eve, Sean Callahan, Parker Gabriel, the mailbag, and we have plenty to discuss from last night's Nebraska ball game, and of course... Ooh. Big news for Nebraska football last night.
Yes.
A key member is moving on to the NFL draft following Friday's game against Iowa. I'll tell you that in a second.
One of your favorite players.
Yeah, that series actually is one of my absolute favorite players, underused until this last Saturday where he got plenty of catches.
Along with that, I will tell you later one of my favorite players on the team. You'll be very surprised by this.
Ooh, okay, all right. I look forward to that, whoever that is, that person is. But we'll get to there.
Excuse me, we have a lot to talk about. You have a lot on your mind. Harrison's here.
Yeah.
Harrison's on a good run of being here.
He's been here for a long time. Yeah, he was here before me today. I was here early, and he was here before me. So kudos to Harrison.
Good job, Harrison.
He's just happy for Thanksgiving, I think.
Well,
you know?
He's very steady. I appreciate Harrison's quiet steadiness.
Well, he is very much so appreciated by this show.
Yeah, and I appreciate you, too.
Thank you. Thanks. You're appreciated also. Last night, Sip.
You are an idiot.
whoa, where'd that come from?
Jeez. Okay, last night, we both
surprised that you had the chance to watch the whole game. I watched the whole game as well.
Tennessee State made me watch the whole game, and you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
Nebraska basketball last night. Well, here's the good news. There's good news and bad news. I'll give you the good news first, all right? The good news is, with Nebraska's close win last night against Tennessee State, Fred Hoiberg now has the longest win streak of his tenure at Nebraska, which is at 3 games.
Yeah, that's something.
They've beaten Idaho State, Southern, and Tennessee State back to back to back.
That's something. I mean, that they need these wins.
The first two of those 3 games, they didn't have much issue with Idaho State or Southern. Now, last night, Sip, against a team that was 1-3 coming in, whose only victory was against a team called Fisk, I believe. They had lost to South Dakota by 17. They lost to some other teams by a large margin. The first half, Sip, Tennessee State comes in, and they make 10 three-pointers. And they're leading at halftime in Lincoln, 41-38, despite Nebraska having a 13-3 lead early in this ballgame. Looked like it was going to be a comfortable win. Things got sloppy. They went to a zone. Nebraska couldn't score in it. And all of a sudden, they catch fire from three-point land, and they're leading at halftime.
Can I interject?
Please do.
Real quickly.
Yes.
Well, you got to get to the final score. But, yeah, I turned it on. I turned it on when it was 13-3, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to watch this till halftime.
So you're the bad luck charm.
No, I'm just going to watch this till half. Nebraska will close it out quick, and it won't be worth watching the second half. But what happened?
Well, again, Tennessee State hit 10 threes. They lead at halftime by 3. Nebraska does win this game at the end, 79-73, but it was never easy for the squad.
No, it really wasn't.
And I just watched the game, and I...
What's wrong?
You watched it, too, so I want to hear your thoughts if it's similar to this. I just don't know if Nebraska basketball has a purpose offensively or really on the floor. I don't see a team out there, and they won the game, so I'm glad they won. They were an 18-point favorite going in against a very poor Tennessee State squad. I don't see a team that has a killer instinct or a team that really is on a mission offensively. They just look lost out there. Guys aren't moving. They're jacking up bad threes early in the shot clock, and sometimes late in the shot clock, a bad shot. Yes. Something's not right. The team is not right. I'm glad they get their first three-game win streak of the Hoiberg era, but last night's game did not really inspire much confidence in me with this program
Hold on. You're right. Now, you're right in your assessment of the offense. You're right on. Anybody that watched the game would agree with you. And if I would try to disagree with you, it would be disingenuous.
Because, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because people watched it and they listened to, was it Rafael Davis? Was that the analyst? And they listened
and
to Lisa Byington.
Yeah,
and they talked about that. Rafael Davis would make comments about Nebraska's poor shots early.
Yes,
for instance, putting up threes early in the shot clock with one or no passes. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, no, it wasn't good. Now it wasn't all bad news because of what you saw from Alonzo Verge, which is, I mean, he played a whale of a game, and that's what they're looking for from Verge. 18 points, 10 assists. He was purposeful. I thought McGowan's did a good job, and generally does a good job of just letting the game come to him. He had a kind of a quiet 18. It's not a total – now, Jake, the other thing I tell you, I want to ask you a question. Why would you expect them to be totally in sync six games in?
Well, not totally in sync, but in sync enough to put away a Tennessee State team.
They won. They won the game. I mean, I know what you're saying.
That's the worst team left on their schedule in terms of the KenPom ratings.
I don't buy those KenPom ratings because this team, I think, was better than Idaho or Southern. Okay, so KenPom had Colorado ranked 35th.
Dedrick Boyd was making everything he looked at. He had off the bench. He had 23 points, 6 of 11 on threes.
Quit that KenPom stuff. It doesn't mean anything, right? Especially early in the season. Jake, they won the game. Now I would ask you this: did you ever think Nebraska wasn't going to win the game?
Yes, I did actually. There was a stretch.
Did you really believe?
Yeah,
that?
I did. I never really thought
that.
You
want
to know why I thought that?
Yeah,
because I watched the Western Illinois game this year in that same arena, which I kept telling myself they're going to find a way to win.
Fair.
Right?
Yeah.
I was in attendance.
That's fair.
At the opening game of the season. And I kept telling myself they're going to close this out. They're going to find a way to win. And they didn't. So, of course, there's a part of me that says, oh, God, here we go again.
Yeah.
Don't have losses in your first six games to Western Illinois and Tennessee State on your home court.
Okay, now
they didn't. They didn't lose.
No, they did
to Tennessee State.
But you're not. I get where you're coming from. Tennessee State was within 63-61 with 6.5 minutes to go. Okay, they were within 2 with 6.5. It wasn't like Nebraska came out in the second half and put Tennessee State away.
They had a good start to the half, and then Tennessee State responded, took the lead back.
Right.
Midway through again.
So at 63-61, what happened? Verge took over. Right-handed scoop shot. Then he found Derek Walker for a layup. Derek Walker has scored 14 points, 15 points, and 16 points in his last three games. Has made 19 of 20 field goals.
One shot.
Yeah. Now he's benefiting from sort of the opponents. But he's also, like Rafael Davis was saying, Derek Walker does a good job of just doing what he has to do, playing within the structure of the system, playing within himself, and the points come. Now, these points aren't going to come as much in the Big Ten.
Get them now while you can
before
you play the monsters of Travion Williams and all those guys in the Big Ten.
And such. Yeah, and while we're watching that game last night, you see the scores flashing up on the screen. Northwestern beat Georgia last night.
Bowie had a good game.
Okay.
23 points.
Indiana beat Houston, a ranked Houston squad.
Not last night. They beat Jackson State last night. Didn't they? Houston,
Wisconsin. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Wisconsin. I'm so sorry. Wisconsin beat Houston.
Wisconsin was up by 20 points at halftime. Almost blew it, but did win by two against Houston.
It's a good Houston team. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Wisconsin beat Houston.
Yes.
Indiana beat Jackson State.
70-35.
Yeah, Illinois.
Illinois beat Kansas State by 8.
72-64.
That's right.
You're watching those scores and going, come on, Nebraska. I mean, the Big Ten's having a decent night here. No, Nebraska's got a ways to go. And Fred, but Jake, I don't really expect them to be hitting on all cylinders. And the Verge equation, the part of the equation, which I think is the most important one going forward, that followed quickly by their three-point shooting, which has been bad. They're shooting 27% from the field from three-point line this
year. And
they
shoot a lot of threes
The
problem.
On the year, they're a 27% free three-point shooting team. 27% is not going to cut it. Last night, 6 for 25. It's 24%. I mean, that's not – yeah, they shoot a lot of them. They have to make them, and they're not. That's a big concern.
To me, the way the offense is being constructed, I understand – what you said, it's hard to be where you want to be right now. But we've said it before in the show. This schedule after Saturday gets really hard. And you cannot just go and lose a bunch of games and have your season end before January. I mean, NC State is tough. Indiana, Michigan are tough games. Kansas State's going to be a tough game.
I know what you're saying. I mean, let's face it.
You can't just keep saying, you can't just have this team trying to find itself right now because it's about to get exploited if that's the case.
If you were directly involved in this, Fred,
yep,
Doc, Abdel Masi, Armon Gates, all the assistants, or mostly the coaches and somewhat the players. The players don't have to shoulder a lot of this, what I'm about to say. And if you're Jake Sorensen, you're really invested. Now,
yes.
It did occur to me last night, the ramifications of a loss. I think it occurred to those staff members because I watched their faces.
We cannot lose this game.
Right. Doc looked like he looked very nervous to me.
Well, they weren't stopping them either.
Right.
I mean,
Doc's not coaching defense, by the way, anymore, I don't think.
What's he coaching?
Well, he's a special assistant. But they looked nervous, and I know why. I saw the fear in a couple assistants' eyes because you know what the deal is.
Well, the problem is
if they lose that game, it is trouble. I mean, it is trouble because now you've lost to Western Illinois and Tennessee State. And if you
on your home court.
And you're on your home court. And if you happen to get to the bubble, oh, come on. People are going to look at those losses, the RPI, and just say no.
I don't even think about the bubble right now. That's so far away. I mean, this team is so far away from any discussion about
that. You can't close that door, though. I bet you people on the text line think I'm nuts closing that door. But I'm not closing that door. You can't. You got to give this team a chance.
But here's the question I have is what have you seen the first six games from what you've been able to watch that gives you hope that the offense is going to figure it out and just
Well, they have a dynamic player in Virgin. They have an NBA draft pick in McGowan, so I'd start with that.
That's a good start.
All right. I mean, they have
beyond that, it's rough.
They have perhaps the Big Ten freshman of the year right now in Bryce McGowan's early.
And he needs to take more shots.
Yeah, early. And they have Alonzo Verge, who if he plays like he did last night, he's tough to deal with, Jake. Then the conversation gets a little dicey, right? Tomanaga's not what we probably expected so far.
He's shooting
about
threes.
15% from the three-point line, literally.
Is it 15%?
Well, I'll look it up, but yikes. I got it. You keep talking.
No,
they have a lot to sort out.
Tomanaga shot two threes last night, missed them both. They were bricks. They were both long.
But we talk about in basketball, you need two or three really good ones, and I'd say Nebraska has two really good ones.
I'd go with two. You know, the rest of the lineup doesn't scare anybody. Derek Walker, again, has been really good the last three games. As we discussed, though, when you get to conference play, he's not going to put up these numbers. He's going to be getting more like 6 to 8 points a game if he's playing well. Lat Mayen has not been reliable. 1 for 4 on threes, you know, just isn't a difference maker. Keon Edwards replacing Trey McGowan's has been really, you know, really average so far. Played 9 minutes last night, 0 for 3 on threes, 2 points on one bucket. Wiltshire, you know, here's the thing about Wiltshire.
I'm listening.
Wiltshire's making threes. I just don't think that guy is a great three-point shooter. I know that sounds weird when he's making them right now. I don't think that's somebody you can rely on to keep making threes in bunches, if that makes sense to you.
It makes sense. I do. It does make – okay, it makes sense. It'd be great if I get these stats.
I hope he can keep it up. You know, 3 of 7, you can take that from three-point land for him last night in what was a rough night, 6 of 25 behind the arc for the team collectively. I just don't know if you can rely on him being that guy going forward. Webster last night, just 2 points in 12 minutes. Tominaga again had 2 points also, and then nothing really from Eduardo Andre or Wilhelm Breidenbach.
They need more. They need more from a lot of guys.
Well, Breidenbach's a guy that, you know, again, it's tough to play college basketball, especially as a true freshman. And that's someone who right now, I'll say, when I watch him, he's having a very difficult time adjusting to college basketball.
Yes.
Now, I still think he's got a bright future, and this is not saying, oh, Wilhelm's a bust, he's not going to work out.
No, you're being fair.
But Wilhelm has got some really questionable fouls. I think he's just having a tough time, and I don't know when that clicks. I don't know if that happens in conference play when it gets harder and harder, or if it happens in December, but Nebraska needs him to find some confidence because he is a good three-point shooter. He is a guy that you need as somewhat of a big...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big down low to help out Walker and Andre. And right now, he's just not giving it to you. But your hope is that he starts getting confidence. You get him some early points in some games, and maybe he starts finding his way. And we'll see what happens after that. But he has just not been really helpful yet for Nebraska, although I think he will be soon.
My bad on Tominaga. He's shooting 21%.
Still not good.
From three-point line. You need more from some guys not named McGowan's, and Verge gave you it last night. Now, here's the thing. Okay, I talk about these two guys. One's a freshman, true freshman, finding his way, Bryce McGowan's, and the other's been spotty, right? So I'm identifying two very strong players, but neither of whom, I mean, I'm not talking about Trace Jackson Davis, and who's a great Michigan State guard of recent vintage, Cassius Winston.
Yeah,
I'm not exactly talking about Cassius Winston and Trace Jackson Davis here, right? I'm not. There's definitely reason to be concerned going forward.
Well,
hey, there's reason for concern. I'm just saying you can't shut the door.
But this is where I'm at with this team. We just listened to what, like you said, Bryce McGowan is really good, and he's going to be, you know, gone after this year. I saw another first round projection last night for him, going late first round. So he's likely gone. Verge is good, but he's up and down. It's an up and down player.
Yeah, and he's kind of finding his way as a point
guard. My issue is that behind that, you don't have much. So this pace they're trying to do, which is just jack up threes early in the shot clock and drive out of control sometimes, that's not going to win this team basketball games. They don't have enough talent to make those shots consistently and get to the line consistently.
Well, maybe, though.
I just don't think, again, this team can win games.
It can.
I don't
It will.
Think the current offensive strategy is going to get them where they need to go. They need to bring, you know, they need to bring Doc Sandler style and try to slow it down.
How are you going to do that?
That's I know they're not, but they need to.
That's not what Fred does.
I understand that. And if you watch, you know, I go back to last year's Sip. I'm watching in the NCAA tournament. What I think the dream is for Fred Hoiberg, but this is a one-game scenario. When Iowa was playing Oregon in the dance last year, remember that game where Oregon just pushes the pace? They push, and they put up 100 points because they made every three they looked at. Mm-hmm. They made all the threes. They were fast break. They were stopping Iowa. Garza had 37 points, but they shut everybody else down.
Okay.
Yeah. But Oregon was, you know, they just could not miss. They were lethal, but they had been a good three-point shooting team that whole season.
Yeah.
They can do that because they have the guys who make three.
You're talking
it's
about
a similar
teams.
Offense, though.
Yeah, I got you. You're just talking about better players. Yeah, no, and the other thing you got to worry about a little bit is Big Ten now, they'll have a bead on Nebraska, and they'll do things to take McGowan's out of it. And then who?
Who's stepping up?
Let Verge try to beat you, and he can't do it himself. So somebody's got to step up. And you got it. You got the right guys. I mean, I would go right to Wiltshire. But Wiltshire's, you know, I mean, he came from Xavier. He averaged 2 a game. He didn't play. I mean, he's sort of unproven at this level, right?
We have seen that in the past where guys came in averaging 2 a game at Texas Tech and Teran Pettaway. You know, he was really good. Pitchford from
Florida. I don't see Pettifer, or excuse me, is it Pettaway? I don't Pettifer, see that.
That's nice.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see Wiltshire.
I'm with you. It's not the same. They're not the same player at all.
No. They need more from Latt. Keon Edwards has been, you know, he's been in the starting lineup. But he just hasn't been able to get anything going offensively. Last night, 1 for 4. I mean, that's highly he's a highly ranked recruit. I mean, he was. I don't know what the deal was at DePaul. It didn't work out. Mm-mm. It didn't work out, though.
No.
And it's so far here, not working out offensively. I don't know. I mean, I'm with you in that there's legitimate reason for concern. And last night wasn't great. It was not great. And I read my mentions on Twitter, and it's fairly ugly right now, right? And they were in a battle, and
that game was a game the whole way through.
It was a little. I mean, the reason I was stayed interested and watched it till the very end. Was because I knew the ramifications of a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not. I mean, it was, if you lose that game, the fan base is up in arms, and you're heading into December, which is going to be a bear. You got one game left. What would that game be like if you lost? I mean, I'm sure that all that was on Fred's mind.
I'm here to tell you again. I know that they had that bad loss to Drake, but South Dakota is going to be a challenge Saturday.
Oh, come on. I got to stop doing this because I got lit up on Twitter a bit last night because of what I said on our
show.
They
beat Tennessee State by 17 on Sunday. This same team.
Yeah.
This same Tennessee State team. They beat by 17.
And you're right. Nebraska does not look in sync. It looks pretty haphazard what they do on offense.
This is not me saying, oh, expect Nebraska to lose Saturday. I'm not saying that, but I think it's going to be a challenge, and Nebraska needs to win that game because you got to get out of these 7 games. I mean, we said 6-1, 7-0 was the expectation. You already have 2 losses. You cannot have a third loss against South Dakota before you play NC State on Wednesday.
Yeah, you're right.
Can't happen. You know, it cannot happen.
If Verge and McGowan show up, they should be okay. McGowan's will always show up, I think. Verge, you wonder a little bit about, but here's the deal.
You do.
Here's the deal. Why do they win these games? Look at the difference in length and athleticism. I mean, it's a pretty severe mismatch in that way against Idaho, Southern, and this team. This team was more athletic than Idaho and Southern. But even with that said, Nebraska was much longer and more athletic than this team. I mean, they just have that huge advantage inside. I mean, Walker has huge advantages. Not that Walker's all that big, but just Nebraska's totality of length and athleticism, it's just should be too much for a Tennessee State to overcome. The only way they're going to overcome it is if they stayed hot. Yep. What were they in the second half shooting threes?
For Tennessee State?
Yeah.
They were 3 for 14.
Right. See, if they would have...
10 of 19 first half.
Right.
3 of 14 the second.
If they would have stayed hot, that was obviously going into halftime. That's I think, what most people are probably thinking. They're not going to stay hot like that. It was a matter of how much would they cool off. They cooled off, and then you felt pretty comfortable with it. But, man, if they would have kept hitting threes, and give Nebraska some credit, they started coming out. They started defending the three-point line better.
They should have. They made 10 in the first half on them. I would hope that you would defend it.
Fred said that the defense wasn't terrible, that they were making a lot of contested threes, which was
they also
somewhat
made a lot
true.
Of wide-open threes.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd push back in that comment. Say, I saw a lot of wide-open threes. That you know, if Tennessee State's making them, other teams are making those threes too.
Yeah, Tennessee State's not. I mean, they're just
they hit 10 threes in the first half.
Give them credit though. Give Tennessee State credit. They were really engaged. Now these games are tough for those teams. Like for instance, Southern came in on Sunday. They didn't even have a shoot around. They didn't
you
practice
could tell in the first right. 10 minutes. They had 4 points.
Right. You could tell. But these are tough games for these. These teams coming in here. Now, I don't know what Tennessee State's practice situation was, but they came in ready. Down 13-3, I get it. They were down 13-3, but they quickly got back in it. Okay? And I give them a lot of credit for that. It's tough to do against a team that's longer and more athletic. They were really I just think it's important to acknowledge that part. That Tennessee State came in with a mentality, we're going to win this game. And they were in it right till the very end.
Well, in the first few minutes, it was 13-3. I thought, okay, maybe they don't.
I thought
have
it'd
that.
Be. I didn't think it'd be a game.
I thought it was over. But yeah, here we go. Let's blow them out like we did Southern and Idaho State. And no, happen. They went on a big run, took the lead, led at halftime, led for a good part of the second half. Nebraska put them away at the end. I mean, they kind of put them away. They won by 6, but they did enough to win the ball game.
There you go. There's the rundown.
Again, Nebraska beats Tennessee State last night. 79-73. It was not pretty by any means for Nebraska. I'm just skeptical about this offense and where it goes from here. I still don't see the ball movement I want to see. Sip.
No, you don't. You don't see it.
Like I don't. I thought
you don't see that.
I thought
often.
With the Fred Hoiberg team again. I watched Iowa State basketball with him. And I watched the NBA. They have set plays. They had ways to get guys open, and. Coming out of timeouts, I'm even curious about what they're calling. They hit a couple threes, but it wasn't like those were wide open threes. They were contested threes. Wilcher and somebody else hit a 3-2 after out of timeouts. I'd want to see more of an offensive play set.
Yeah,
that gets you an easy bucket. And I just don't see it.
To counter that, I hear you. To counter that, a lot of the offense is just Verge driving the lane and making plays. Either going up. And making a shot off the glass or finding a teammate. I mean, it's a lot of it's drive and kick. I mean, that's what a lot of that offense is right now. Or it's a screen and roll game working with Derek Walker, which those two do work together well. Now, are those baskets going to come as we've alluded to? Those baskets are not going to come as easily in the Big Ten. I mean, Walker and Verge working together on that part, it'll work at times. Now, there's some sentiment, too, that the Big Ten's down. The Big Ten's not going to be like it was last year. Michigan's not as good as last year for some reason.
Yeah, they got beat by Arizona recently?
Yeah, Michigan State. I don't know about that. You better double-check that. I thought they beat Arizona.
Did they? Okay, Let me check that.
Michigan State is not as strong. Illinois, I don't know if they'll be quite as good. The league is a little down.
Arizona did beat Michigan.
I am sorry.
80-62, Arizona won. They
is
blasted
that right?
Beat them by 18. I thought I saw that.
Oh, man.
Two days ago.
Yeah, in that tournament in Vegas.
The Roman main event championship in Vegas. Yeah. They lost by 18 to Arizona.
Oh, man. Yep. Anyway, it's down a little bit. So you got to take that into account. And we'll just, hey, December's coming. North Carolina State, you're going on the road to Raleigh. Let's see what it looks like, Jake. I mean, I don't think you want to get all down in the mouth about this team and then have to come back and say, well, they beat North Carolina State. That's pretty good. Maybe they, you know, they're going to play Auburn. Look at the December schedule.
Well, I'm looking at, yeah, okay. Well, December schedule for Nebraska, you got South Dakota still this Saturday. Then you have December 1st, NC State.
Okay.
Then next Saturday, you have Indiana on the road.
Tough.
Okay. Then you have Michigan at home on the following Tuesday.
Might be winnable. I don't think so, though.
No. No, Indiana's more winnable than Michigan
is. Right, probably.
That's not good. Then you have Auburn in Atlanta, December 11th.
Think about that stretch. Think about that.
And then, I'm not done. Kansas State, it just pushed Illinois. Yeah. They lost. I know, don't
They're
laugh.
Down,
don't
though.
Laugh at this one. Kennesaw State almost beat Creighton, who beat you.
Kansas State's down, though.
Your gimme game
I know.
In late December is not a gimme game because they know they can beat you because they pushed Creighton to the brink.
I don't know that there are gimme games too much for Nebraska.
And then we're on to January.
I mean, they took care of Idaho State and Southern. Those were, you know, they did that. And I thought last night would be a lot easier.
I mean, I'm not trying to be
gloom and doom.
Yeah, there's a chance they could go winless in December. They can't
stop it. Of course, there's a chance.
I'm just
pointing
that
out. Anybody. There's no guarantees here.
NC State, by the way, if you're curious about them, they have a close win against Colgate, who beat Syracuse, as I pointed out the other day. They just lost the other day to Oklahoma State, who's decent.
I guess.
They beat Central Connecticut State by 14.
Okay.
And they beat Bucknell by 8. So, and then they just beat Texas Southern on Sunday by 8. They're not great.
No.
They're fine.
Right.
They're not great, though.
Right. Go win that game.
You play them next Wednesday on the road. This will be Nebraska's first road game of the season.
Right.
They haven't played on the road yet.
Right. Chemistry. I mean, I think about chemistry. When you talk about road games, I think about team chemistry. And I would say team chemistry is not great right now. It doesn't look – you can just see it. It doesn't look great. So, again, though, that's a work in progress. They'll get more work in this week to play South Dakota and get some practice time in and maybe resolve a few things. And everybody's trying to resolve some things. Most teams are not named Gonzaga or UCLA.
Gonzaga. Yeah. Last night, did you see what they did?
Yeah.
First of all, they played like Texas, which is a top four team when they played and beat them. Mm-hmm. Last night, they played UCLA and – they blasted them. Final score in that one, 83-63.
Yeah.
They're up by 20 the whole game, basically. Well,
they're number one. I mean, that's why they're number one.
And by the way, if you're curious about Hunter Salas for Nebraska, he had 2 points in the game.
Yeah, not playing
off
a
the
lot.
Bench.
Yeah, not playing a lot. Don't need him to.
Yeah, if you went by 20 against the second-ranked team in the country, I think you're fine. Hunter, just take your time. Take your time.
What's Purdue ranked up now? Fourth? Fifth?
They are. Yeah, they're fourth, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, that's a big-time team.
There you go.
Purdue is the class of the Big Ten.
Purdue is going to be a really, really good team. They already are good. They're going to be really, really good. This is Matt Painter's, it appears to be so far, his best chance at going deep, deep, deep in the tournament.
Yeah, they got inside, outside. They got it all.
Barring any injuries, that team should go very, very far in the dance. Sean Callahan up next on Early Break on the Ticket.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.